This is chapter 14, the speaking in tongues thing. Now here we go. We know it's wrong because tongues are for a sign. That's all we know. We don't do it because the Pentecostals do. And we don't want to act like they do. We want them to be right, and we don't want to look like they do. And so they have to be wrong. So that's how we look at it. But you're still hearing me, right? Hello. Yep. Let me get a yep in there from somebody. Yep, okay. Must be Mark's the only one paying. Oh, there we go. There we come. Oh, we got it. Okay. Now, I did see something tonight. That's a couple of things going over this thing. So I hope this is interesting to you. I'll try to take my time. No hurry tonight. What I did was I just thought I'd look up somebody's, how do they explain speaking in tongues, you know, the tonguey crowd. And I got a hold of this guy's writings here, and his name was Tom Brown. And this guy's definitely worth listening to because he says, by the grace of God, I was privileged to see Jesus Christ in a vision. This vision took place when I was visiting a nursing home in El Paso, Texas. It occurred during the early 1980s, and I didn't write the whole thing down, but Jesus was in a wheelchair. And he's sitting in there, and he says, you do this to me, do this to these old folks, and he's like doing this to me, and all this kind of teary-eyed sermon baloney, you know. And I had come to preach and minister to the elderly, and so he got to see Jesus in a wheelchair. Isn't that nice? So I read this guy's stuff, and it's the same thing. It's scriptures misguided, wrongly divided, and just cutting out some words. I mean, this is just bottom line. This is as simple as 10, 15, and 7, and 2, for 13, here 14. 15 or 16 years ago, when I was teaching, no, I would have been in South Dakota, so even before that, 20-some years ago. Whew. But I was teaching music in a Bible Institute down in First Bible in New York, and these guys, what do you think about Steve Green's music? I said, he's not King James. Case closed. Done. That's all we need to do to judge on this kind of stuff, but whatever. So he writes this article about speaking in tongues. And he says it's the most talked about phenomenon in Christianity. Pentecostalism and charismatic movement has brought speaking in tongues to the forefront. Yes, all the churches are starting to do this stuff. And it's thanks to the program, the Alpha program. Remember, my brothers taught it in a Lutheran church. And speaking in tongues in a Lutheran church, they can't even talk in English. They're so dead. A little bit of Norwegian and Swedish in there, but other than that, speaking in tongues, Lutherans don't speak in tongues, Dennis. So anyway, he's got a couple points I wanted to point out. Then I'm going to show you how to find some other stuff here. He says this, what good is it? So what good is speaking in tongues? He says, the Apostle Paul, he's a Paul guy. How exciting. The Apostle Paul writes, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Sounds like Confucius. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Okay, take your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is what he says to quote. This is just amazing to me, but oh well, big deal. When this thing is all said and done, we'll just go on to their ways, and the Christians will still be at the beaches and in the drinking joints and swimming and all that kind of stuff. Whatever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, does say something like that. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Oh, well, see, there you stop right there. That's what he did. He stops right there. Then he goes to verse 5, I would that y'all spake with tongues. And he stops right there. Right there. I got to quit saying there. It's a there. Now, notice what he leaves out. Verse 4, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that y'all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. See, I mean, the guy cuts the things in half, and he says, Paul would rather we speak in tongues. No, he wouldn't. And we don't edify ourselves. Okay, let's prove that. Let's get out our concordance, and let's look up about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses on edifying. You look at all the verses that Paul talks about edifying. Here's what he says. We're to edify another. We're to edify that the church may receive edifying. That you may excel to the edifying of the church, for the edifying of the body of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Ephesians talks about edifying, that it may speak that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So our edifying is always for somebody else. He never tells us to edify ourselves. we will be edified. But it is not our desire. It should not be our desire to edify ourselves. So this, from the start, this guy is wrong. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Yeah, and Paul doesn't want us to do that. Now look at verse 19. Here's a deeper illustration here. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And he goes on to that thing, which we'll read here eventually. So that takes care of that. What good is it? There is no good in it. Because the prophesying and the preaching is what's good for the church, edifies the church. Speaking in an unknown tongue doesn't. It edifies himself, yourself, and he doesn't think, and he says we don't need to edify ourselves. Okay, here's another one. Point number two, he says, speaking in tongues is the most intelligent, perfect language in the universe. It is God's language. Really? Well, if we go to 2 Corinthians, again, we go to our Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And again, we know this is Paul talking about himself. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Okay, if this guy says that the speaking in tongues down here is God's language from up in heaven, it's unlawful to speak them down here. They're unspeakable words. Okay, fine. Go with unspeakable gibber-jabber that people do. But it's unlawful for men to speak them. So, that takes care of that point. We go to Mark chapter... we'll save that one here. We'll save that for a minute here. And maybe we'll save this one. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Yep, let's go to Acts chapter 2. We are going to go over these again here, but this is just some quick things to show that this guy is just nuttier than a Pentecostal fruitcake. And if the people would go to a King James Bible for its final authority, rightly divided, it would destroy the whole thing. Of course, it would destroy all the denominations, including the Baptists, whichever kind you are. You know, there are charismatic Baptist church people that speak in tongues in the Baptist churches. Yeah. Now, the next point he makes, he talks about, it really isn't the miracle of speaking in Acts chapter 2, it's the miracle of hearing. The people that heard, he says he was declaring the wonderful works of God, and he spoke in his normal language, but yet the people all heard him in his language, in a particular person's language. So the miracle are the people hearing. Oh, never heard that before. Well, here, let's look at verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues. We go up to verse 6, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. 8, like I said, we'll get to these later. No, they're speaking in a different language. That's speaking in tongues. And according to Mark 16, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, he says, they shall speak with new tongues. So Mark 16, the end of the whole thing of the Gospels, goes right into Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, and there's what they're doing. That's new tongues. There's different languages that they say. And this guy says, well, see, a new tongue is not a language because it's already languages there. It is if you've never spoken it before, and if it's being spoken so that everybody can hear it, that's new. It's just crazy stuff here. Then he talks about the baptism in the Spirit, and he calls it the better baptism. And he goes to Acts chapter 19. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. So he goes there to show that these guys received the baptism of John. Okay, Acts chapter 19. And he says up there in verse 2, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them in verse 3, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what he's saying here is, you get saved, and then you need to receive the Holy Spirit. Two different things. And the second baptism is the better one. Well, the disciples of John, they were baptizing for water, for repentance, sure. There was no salvation as we speak of it today. So that's a baloney thing. And besides that, the next verse, even though they were baptized, Paul still had to lay their hands on them to get the Holy Ghost. So you see where the Pentecostals come up with this stuff? And here it says right here in the little notes here, the question itself proves that Paul, of course Paul, including the early church, believed that it was possible to be a believer in Jesus without having received the Holy Spirit. Why is he coming up with that stuff? These guys were baptized by John. And here the Pentecostals, they still do the John's baptism thing, and they still pray for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, again, and then they go for the speaking in tongues to prove that they received them. Well, it's right there. Yeah, but this is early stuff. This isn't what Paul's talking about, what people are talking about today. It's an amazing thing. Then the last thing they talk about here, he talks about in his little notes here, is the physical evidence. The fact that they do it proves it. Well, that's brilliant. That's brilliant reasoning. Speaking in tongues is a physical, biblical evidence that one is baptized in the Holy Spirit. We should not settle for anything less than the scriptural evidence. Well, the scriptural evidence doesn't tell me anything about that. And we can't go to Peter and say, well, see, the more sure word of prophecy is my Bible that outranks speaking in tongues. Because we can't go to Peter for any of our doctrinal foundation today. Peter gives us ideas of what's coming up in the tribulation, but that's applicable to the tribulation. And yes, there is grace in the tribulation, but there's also the walk, and there's also the mark you're not supposed to take. Obey the law. So what Peter talks about there, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is not what, we can't use that to knock this thing. What do we use to show that the today's evidence is not speaking in tongues? Well, a King James Bible. Because what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13:10? That which is done in part, that which is perfect is come, is done away. And tongues will cease. It's that simple. Okay. So, I don't know. Just one of those things. Mark, you do it a lot. You read some of these guys' things and you find something and you write and say, this is ridiculous. How do people believe this? I don't know. But all the denominations are getting into this thing. You put together music and speaking in tongues and you got the new church for the Antichrist coming together there. And then we learn about edifying. We're not to edify ourselves, we're to edify the body of Christ. And if people would just quit trying to edify themselves and make themselves feel good about they're not wearing clothes, they're going to beaches, they're going to Las Vegas for vacations, they're going to Mexico, they're going to the Bahamas, they're going to Buffoon, I mean they're going all sorts of places, they got money to blow and they just go to these dirty places as Christians and they're loud and the whole thing from this morning's sermon. Where are Christians today? Well, I guess they're out there edifying themselves. They're having a great time. Totally against scriptures. Okay, now let's get on to our general sermon. That was kind of a hors d'oeuvre thing. I noticed as I read through this thing that there's really four different places where tongues are mentioned. Sound is still working out there? Everybody's still alive? Okay. Bob, you still there? This is really good knowing that you're out there with your ears open here for this thing. So we see four different things. We go to Mark 16 again. So we see that this is where it's first mentioned, you know, at the Great Commission, as everybody wants to call it. Fine. And one of the things that we're supposed to be able to do if we're trying to bring out the Great Commission today, verse 17, these are signs that shall follow them that believe. Not just the apostles, them that believe. They shall be able to cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And it says there, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and these signs were following them, confirming the word with signs. So yeah, Jesus' teachings were taught during the Great Commission. Well, duh, he hadn't even talked to Paul yet. They haven't even killed Philip yet. So we jump right into this. Here's the first mention here, speaking in tongues, is with Mark, where it says they shall speak with new tongues. So let's go to the next stage in the design here, and that's Acts chapter 1 and 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Now let's read this thing. This is from Peter. This is Peter's teachings. Here we got these Baptist churches, Pentecostal Baptists, these Pentecostal people. They're just like the Catholics. They're following Peter. Peter's everybody's apostle, and the other 12, of course. 11, and then 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and all that kind of stuff. This is Jewish stuff here. Okay. Now here we go, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It wasn't, but it's just like as it was as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Okay, so he mentions it in Mark that it's new tongues. And these new tongues now, these guys are going to be speaking in different languages. They've never done this before. And these are other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Then it lists the places they're from. Verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, here we go, here's Peter's thing. This is where everybody's at today. Peter says here, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, that's everybody there, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken to the prophet Joel, which is in Joel chapter 2, verse 89, 28, by the way. Okay, so now what we're seeing here is this is why this part of Acts is before Paul's stuff. It's also why James and Peter and Jude and all these books in the back are after Paul. Because what Peter's talking about here is if this is going to be the last days, which it could have been if they had accepted Christ as their Savior still, as he offers him again, kind of a deal. And if they did, this would have been into the last days. They would have had to go through the tribulation for killing him. And da-da, there it goes. So, but it's not. Because, they kill the priest and all this kind of stuff. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We have the Spirit inside us. Separates us from our flesh. The flesh is still there. During this time, the Spirit will be upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. See, sons and daughters. Who's prophesying today? The daughters are. The ladies are. And your young men shall see visions. Here we got this guy who saw Jesus at the nursing home in a wheelchair. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, those are the young people, the young girls, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So this will be taking place during the tribulation. This is not today. And you keep reading, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth. The sun shall be darkened, da-da-da-da. That's not today. It could have been during Peter's time, but they killed Stephen. Jesus goes on to Paul. And we got that big gap all of a sudden, which is the church age, through Paul's teachings. Not Peter's. This is Jewish stuff. This is charismatic stuff. This is Pentecostal stuff if it's done today. So yeah, they can find it in their Bible, but it's not today's stuff. That's why everybody is prophesying. The ladies are running the churches. The ladies are preaching. The ladies are doing all that. I mean, it's ladies everywhere. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes here. Okay, so there's that one. There's the new tongues and the other tongues. Now, quickly, let's go to, we mentioned, let's go to it again. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We have another kind of a tongues, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And that is the unspeakable ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. So, if anybody wants to say that this speaking in tongues is from God and this is the language from heaven, if it was, it's not supposed to be spoken down here. They're unspeakable. So, Pentecostals, shut up. That's what you're supposed to do here. Now, that carries us to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, do you see some differences there? You've got the new tongues and the other tongues, languages. And you got this unspeakable, unlawful one down here. So that whole gibber-gabber is a baloney thing. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 14:2, and we see that he calls these unknown tongues. So we have the unspeakable. We have the other tongues, and we have unknown. Really, three different facets of it. Basically, just two. You've got the other tongues, which are the new tongues, and then you've got the unknown tongue. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now, you go back and you look at those tongues that Peter's talking about. Those were tongues to the people, to the men. New tongues, other tongues, unto men. And what Paul's talking about here in chapter 14 are unknown tongues unto God. And again, is it that whoop-de-doo, bow-tie, yelling, screaming, laughing, throwing up, dog barking, all this kind of stuff? No, because that's not what's going on in heaven either, as far as that goes. But if they want to claim that this is heavenly language, it's not supposed to be spoken, and it's unlawful to be spoken. So that's not to be uttered. So whatever Paul's talking about here is not the languages, because that's other tongues. That was spoken to man. This is something a little bit different here. And when he says in 1 Corinthians 13:10, he does say that when that which is perfect has come, then he says there in verse 8, 10, verse 13, 10, there we go, 13, 8, they shall, whether there be tongues, plural. Not just tongues, speaking in tongues, but plural. You've got the other languages. You've got the other tongues. You've got the unspeakable, which aren't spoken anyway. You've got the unknown. It's all done. But I find it interesting that I just recognize that in the Acts stuff from Peter, that's unto men. That's languages. And we can't use that as a reason why what Paul is talking about is unknown tongues. Two different kinds. I never saw that before. You probably all have, but I never did. Okay, so now let's read through this. Just read through this chapter. With that kind of a foundation set, and we know what we're talking about here, generally, with rightly dividing, we just have to read this thing slowly, make a few notes about some words here, and the whole thing is dealt with. It isn't because we have a more sure word of prophecy. It isn't because Jews seek a sign, and Jews and speaking in tongues were to the Jews. Those things are all true, but as far as the time we're living in, it's the King James Bible that shuts down these tongues. Did they speak in tongues? Did they have that knowledge? Did God give them the prophesying before 1611? I think so. I have a problem with that. I can't prove it historically. My faith tells me that yes, because if that which is perfect has come is the 1611 Bible, then there's that transition time in 1610, 11, 12, 13, all that kind of stuff, whatever. It's like Acts and Hebrews. But that Bible shut down tongues. What kind of tongues? Other tongues? Unknown tongues. I don't have a problem with that. Because whatever it is Paul's talking about, they were doing it then. It just happens to be the Corinthians was a very carnal, fleshy church. And that whole tongue things is a fleshy deal, which is why it's still such a hot item today. Okay, so now let's just read through chapter 14, if that makes any sense. I'll make a couple little comments in here, just to, as we see here. Because there's kind of a bunny trail in here about music, but that's okay. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye prophesy. May prophesy. Now that's carried over from the past about charity. You know, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. But we see that, yes, it's good to have charity and desire spiritual gifts, but we're still seeing the preaching above that, to prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Okay, so whatever this is, we don't do this today. It's done kaputz, 1611. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now that's not the individual men edifying themselves. That's the preacher edifying and exhorting and comforting. That's okay. And Paul even uses that verse again later on. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what a father is supposed to do for their children. 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, which Paul never says to do. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all speak with tongues. I mean, it's okay during the time. They don't have a Bible. They don't have any way of that kind of thing, prayer. But this is something that took place, and it's okay. And Paul says, if you're going to do this, here's how you do it. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. Without an interpreter, nobody's going to get anything out of this guy speaking in this unknown tongue to God. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge? There's that stuff in 1 Corinthians 13:8. That was the way God worked in those days. By revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. They didn't have a Bible. Now, I'll make this into bunny trail. It doesn't have to be. Even things without life-giving sound, musical instruments, okay? Whether pipe or harp, except to give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? To the battle. And so he's trying to compare this whole thing here to speaking in tongues. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Well, they don't even know what you're talking about. And I did attend a church one time. They were speaking in tongues. I had no idea what was going on. Didn't even know about it at the time. I told you this the other day. Lady passes out, and the ushers kind of just draw away, underwear showing everywhere. Pastor's down there speaking in tongues, and the choir's speaking. Everybody's speaking in tongues, like a demonic midnight worship around the trees in the forest at night. And then all of a sudden, he stops. Everybody stops. Is this led by the Holy Spirit or led by the pastor? I knew right then, this is baloney. So that's what he's using us as a comparison to. There are, it may be so, maybe, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Sure, there's voices everywhere. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. And I apply that to music, because if you don't know the musical language, you don't understand the voice of music, that music will manipulate you and control your entire life and your family and your sleeping and your thinking. Just like if you're going to speak in tongues and you're speaking this unknown stuff, nobody's going to know what you're talking about. And if you don't know what they're talking about, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Nothing's going on. They have no idea what's going on with each other. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, I mean, I'm glad for you, you know, seek ye that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now remember, these spiritual gifts now are the healing and the miracles and that kind of stuff back in 1 Corinthians 12, which we don't follow those today. This is not the time for those. Romans 12 is the gift we talk about today. So what you see here is you see the Pentecostal entire doctrinal treasure chest here. And when I got into Paul years ago, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, or Mark, Floyd, you've been with us a long time too. We went through Paul's books, chapters Acts 9 through up to Philemon. Then I said, well, you know what, let's go through Hebrews to Jude. And we saw the differences there. Then I said, there's one thing we haven't done yet. We haven't gone through Acts 1 through 8. We're going to find something. Yeah, would we find that was interesting in there? We found that this is the whole Pentecostal doctrinal manual based on signs, based on speaking in other tongues, unknown tongues. They do they combine the unknown and other into one big happy thing, and it affects the flesh, and they say Paul tells us to do it. We know that's not true. So this even has application to music, too. It's a marvelous application. We have to understand the voice we're hearing. Okay, anyway, back to 12. Now we got a lawnmower going. Is that too loud? Can you hear the lawnmower on this thing? I can shut my windows and... Okay. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church, not yourself. Wherefore, I'm going to shut that window because I can hear it anyway. Well, this is the guy that mows at 10:30 at night around here. I guess I should be happy. He's mowing when he's mowing. Who in the halfway normal, decent neighborhood friendship would mow your lawn at... that kind of a time. Anyway. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, this is what Paul's time, it's okay in Paul's time, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My understanding is unfruitful. Even he doesn't know what he's saying. That's a good one, isn't it? What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, because he has an interpreter. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Another bunny trail about music. Do we even know what it is we're singing with understanding? When we do, we start realizing we're singing some things that we don't believe. In some of these classic, good old Baptist, old-fashioned hymns, there's some things that we sing that are not true. We've got to watch for that stuff. Then he says in 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So this whole thing about speaking unknown tongues is like, you don't do this with other people because they have no idea what you're talking about. He says in verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice, I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding be men. In other words, grow up, you guys, this isn't what we're supposed to be doing here. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues, there it is, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Okay, fine. To the Jews, okay, but look what he says, look what that verse really says. Therefore, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So we have churches full of people that are believers. That's what we're supposed to do. That's where the prophesying comes in. And in Paul's day, the speaking in tongues, of the unknown tongues, was for those that don't believe. They're looking for signs. Jewish. Okay, so the conclusion is there, but it doesn't say, therefore tongues are for a sign and Jews seek a sign. It says that someplace else, but it doesn't put it in one verse. If, I like this, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, see, he calls all the believers in that town the church, and if they all get together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Oh, yeah. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced, not convicted, but convinced of all. He is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, not an unknown God, but he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. He'll know that. So he says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying the body of Christ. Here's more of the kind of screws to hammer down all the way here. The screw. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. At the most by three. And that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to himself, not to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of the saints. Let the women keep silence in the churches. There's the big one, speaking in tongues. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Where's our families falling apart? Us husbands never knew what to do all these years. We didn't know what to do. How many of us have kids that don't care about this stuff we're preaching? Hands up. Yeah, I didn't do what I was supposed to do at all. I didn't do my job at all. Where are we at here? Ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it out unto you only? A little sarcastic question. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. There's your test if you're a serious Christian. You follow Paul. But if any man be ignorant, hey, let him be ignorant. And we try to get people to learn. I get frustrated. And Paul says, listen, you've tried, you've told them, they can't get out of the snare, they don't want to get out of the snare, let them go. If they want to be there, let them be there. That's really hard. I'm not good at that, by the way. I guess you already know that. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. That's what you want to do. But he still says, and forbid not to speak with tongues. But he does say, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, here's chapter 14. Let's look at our Pentecostal churches today, other than the thing that I talked about that other guy. What do we got going on in these churches today? Well, everybody's got visions. But we know what the vision thing is. That's for the tribulation time. Now, I kind of tend to believe that we're going to see some of this stuff because we're getting closer to the tribulation. And there's always that transitional time. So I'm not surprised when somebody says they have a vision. I just know it wasn't true. It wasn't from God. All denominations are starting to speak in tongues today, even the Baptists. Music is the same. The speaking in tongues is the same stuff. What they're doing in churches today is not unto God, it's unto men. And if it is unto God, there's not supposed to be two or three at the most with an interpreter. You want each one of those little groups. And there are none. The women are to keep silence in the churches for the speaking in tongues thing, and they're the ones that started this thing. Amy McPherson McVeigh or something. I don't know what their name is down there in Kansas or something somewhere. And if you watch the early movies and videos of the early Pentecostal years, it was just a bunch of ladies with some men in there. Now we've got men all over the place. The head of these men are not men. You know, their Bible is like a treasure to them. They carry it around their necklace or something. They got the worship concept all wrong because they go to Acts chapter 17 and that whole worship thing is you can't worship God now. He's created you. What do you do to worship God like that? With your hands and things. So we worship Him with spirit. We worship Him not in a fleshly way. Amy McPherson Semple. Yep. Thank you, Mark. So, I mean, these guys break every rule in Paul's chapter here. Women preachers, well, it said in Acts chapter 2 that the ladies will be prophesying. Yeah, that's tribulation. He put the Spirit of God upon their flesh, and even the ladies can tell people what's going on. So ladies, if you want to preach, then, you know, hang around. Get into the tribulation. Have a great time. But until then, men, get up there and preach. Teach people stuff here. What do we got here? The music is fleshy. Acts chapter 17, I talked about that. These guys do not believe in Paul, although this guy uses Paul, but he just cuts his verses in half. Everybody goes by feeling, the emotional stuff. And there's actually no scriptural support for what's going on today, except you can find it in the scriptures. Now, what does that mean? That shows the importance of rightly dividing. Spiritual gifts. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or is it Romans chapter 12? Speaking in tongues. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for today or was it done away with in the King James Bible? What about Acts chapter 2? Is that done away with? Well, that's was done away with back in the olden days even, back when Paul was killed. Anyway, it's all there. It's all there. I can't imagine you can't hear the lawnmower by now. Anyway, it's all there, and the speaking in tongues thing was done away with the King James Bible. That's the answer we're supposed to be telling people. Not the Jews seek a sign. Not, you know, that kind of stuff. Amy Semple McPherson, okay. So, do you see how important rightly dividing is again? Do we see how important it is to rightly divide even Paul? Before the King James Bible and after the King James Bible. I'm afraid there's still people out here that don't even believe the King James Bible still is the Word of God. And everything else is not. Everything else is not. An NIV Bible took that verse about edifying themselves and knocked out some of that stuff and makes everybody think they're supposed to edify themselves. That's not the Word of God, NIV. That's not a Bible. Crazy. You got to look to Paul. And even in Corinthians, you got to know how to look at Corinthians. Corinthians is transitional in some ways in there because, remember, he's going through some history in there. And Peter, we don't follow Peter. Well, we don't follow Peter, but the Baptist guys preach out of 1 and 2 Peter all the time. Well, why don't you guys go back and preach Peter in Acts chapter 2? How about Acts 2:47? We're supposed to have favor with all the people. Oh, wait a minute. That's what they are doing. everybody's going back to Peter. Well, why not? It's the Catholic Church starts with Peter. See, in order to get back in the Catholic Church ship, you got to go back to Peter. Baptists are going back to Peter. It's amazing.